sometimes, too often, we hear Christians behaving as if I can do whatever I want to do, because all I need to do after I have done my sinful soft stuff is what? Confess.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of his message that aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant took us to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, where, following his teaching of the Beatitudes, Jesus taught how he expects his disciples to be change agents in this world. Using two common elements to illustrate how that works, the first of those common elements was salt. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." We invite you to listen now as Pastor Grant concludes his challenging message, Making Change Happen. Here again is Pastor Grant.
God expects our lives to display the holiness of Christ. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? What does your Bible say? Say it with me. It is then what? Good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. If the salt loses its savor, it is then good for nothing. As the salt of the earth, God expects our lives to display the holiness of Christ. Since we Christians are the salt of the earth, how we live matters. Amen? For the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing. When we live in sin, we will not only lose our testimony, but we also run the risk of shipwrecking our faith. You say, Pastor, what's this all about? I want you to hold your finger in Matthew 5 because we're coming there, but I want to read a scripture here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. As the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his son in the faith, he says, Timothy, this charge I commit to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. That's a big word. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I deliver to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. This is serious business. Sometimes, too often, we hear Christians behaving as if I can do whatever I want to do, because all I need to do after I have done my sinful soft stuff is what? Confess. Have you heard that? Have you ever heard that baloney? Have you ever heard that trick of the devil? Anytime you hear yourself saying that, stop. It's Satan telling you that nonsense. Any Christian who bold-facedly walks into sin and say, I can always sin because once I finish sinning, I can ask God to forgive me. Listen. There is nothing in the Bible that teaches that. Now, it is true, you cannot lose your salvation, but don't play games with God. Don't play games with the omnipotent, omniscient God. And so the Apostle Paul says, he says, some having concerned with having suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, these Christians, he has delivered them to Satan. I better not get too carried off on this because I could go off on a tangent here. These are Christian men. You say, Pastor, are you saying they lost their salvation? No, they did not lose their salvation, but they were allowed to get beaten up pretty badly. They were allowed to be beaten up. We can never lose our salvation. When a Christian lives a sloppy life, God will put them on the shelf and may allow Satan to work them over until they cry to him for help and forgiveness, a sincere turn in their hearts where they recognize that they have wandered far away from God. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have wandered far away from God, playing this game with God. Would to God that today the Spirit of God will do a work in your heart and you will come to Jesus and you will say, I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home, amen. Perhaps you wandered so far and you're now experiencing the discipline of God. It's time to come home. For just as the Father welcomed home the prodigal son, God will welcome you home today. Listen, he's waiting for you. He's been waiting for you. There are individuals under the sound of my voice for whom God has been waiting for a long time. Christians who have been out there in the land of Lodibar, and God has been waiting. May God help us that we will come back to him today. May God help us that we may always seek to live a holy life. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, that's where we are taking our text from, where the Spirit of God says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it on their basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Listen, the day we were born again, God made us the salt of the earth and the light of the world so we can have a godly influence for him. Say that with me. Let's say it since it's right there. The day I was born again, God made me both the salt of the earth and the light of the world so that I can be a godly influence for him. Amen. We just answered why Jesus may have said we are the salt of the earth. But here's the second question I want to deal with before we bring this to an end. Here's the second thing. Why would Jesus call Christians the light of the world? You can add that to your notes. Why would Jesus call Christians the light of the world? Write this. Here's the thing. Light has one primary job: to shine. And if we're saved, God wants us to shine for him. Are you shining for Jesus? Teenager. He said, Pastor, I'm only 12, I'm only 14, I'm only 16. Are you saved? If you're saved, God wants you to what? To shine for him. Once you're saved, if you got saved at 10, you got to start shining for Jesus. God has given every Christian an assignment and has equipped and empowered each of us. Did you know the day you got saved, God actually started, he gave you his Spirit. The Spirit of God came in and he gives you the ability to share, to shine. That very day you had the ability, the opportunity to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. God has empowered all of us to make change happen. You're just 13. You're just 25. God has empowered you to make change happen. You don't have to be a victim. Some of us go through life as victims. We don't have to be victims. Am I right about that? God has empowered us with it by his Spirit, and we don't have to be victims. So Jesus spoke to his disciples. He warned them against the temptation to cover their light. I better not ask for a show of hands. But if I were to ask for a show of hands, the honesty is, those who are honest, there'd be a lot of hands going up. You see, there is this temptation that we all have to what? To cover our light. Am I right about this? I don't want my friends to know that I belong to Jesus. Of course, they have no problem telling you all the nastiness they're into. The Christians are the only ones. We're the only ones so scared to death. The Muslim guy, he's standing at the corner selling his... What is it? I don't know what he sells. He used to sell a little pudding. He used to sell a... Is it just a sweet potato pudding? Oh, bean pie. I never bought one. I thought it was a sweet potato pudding. All right, what is a bean pie? Good thing I never bought one. I'm not into bean pies. All right. So, but these guys used to be selling their little stuff. He makes it clear who he is. But if he ever said, let's go to the corner and hand out some tracts. Let your light so shine before men. Is your light shining? Is my light shining? Or have I covered up my light? The world will not be impacted for Jesus if believers keep covering their light. Today, God is speaking to every one of us. It is time to stop covering up the light. Whether you're a kid or a teenager or an adult or a senior citizen, all of us are guilty. It's not an age problem. Am I right about it? It's not an age problem. Just imagine if you knocked at a neighbor's house that was in total darkness. And when they opened the door, you discovered that every lamp was on. But they all had a shade covering them so that no light was shining. What would you think about these neighbors? Come on now, come on. Let's use your imagination. There's no light shining. You knock on the door. Every light is on, but every light is covered. You'd say what? They cuckoo. Am I right about it? These are some crazy neighbors. Am I right about it? Come on, young people. Crazy, crazy, crazy Annie and crazy Jane. Give me a male name. Crazy Mike. Let's the ladies think I'm only picking on the woman. Crazy, crazy, crazy. You've been a Christian for how long? Everybody shout out how long you've been saved. Think about it. I have been a Christian for... I had to do some subtraction. 63 years. We didn't shout it. Oh, let's hear it. I have been a Christian for 63 years. Did you shout? That was a soft shout, the softest shout I ever heard. The softest shout. How many of those years has the light been shining? Or are you like these crazy neighbors? I can't find anything to cover it. Are you one of those crazy neighbors who's covering up your light? How many of your neighbors know? How many of them have seen your light? It's time. You see, the light is not so much about when you come in this sanctuary. We love to show the light in here, don't we? We come in and we show some, and we're like GCA, we are a little on the subdued side. But by the way, it's okay to shout sometime and to say hallelujah, praise the Lord. Don't get too nice that the preacher can't be heard, okay? But it's okay. The place where the light really needs to shine is not in here. It's out there. It needs to shine when we go to that family reunion. It needs to shine at the job. Is the light really shining? Or have you covered it? People, the Bible says, do not light a lamp and put it on a basket. But they put it on what? A lampstand. What's a lampstand? I don't do a whole lot around my house, I confess. But I have a feeling the lampstand is one of those things that stands out. People can't see it. God wants the world to see our light. Amen? God wants the world to see our light. Are they seeing yours? Because so many Christians have their light covered. It's estimated that every day, listen to this. It is estimated that every day, over 66,000 people die without ever hearing the gospel. Did you hear what I'm saying? It is estimated that over 66,000 people are dying every day without ever hearing the gospel. Because I have my light covered. Oh, I pray that today the Spirit of God may speak to every heart, and even that those of us who are nervous and may say, I'm a nervous Nilly, that today we make a decision. God, I know if you're asking me to let my light shine, your Holy Spirit will empower me and give me the courage to let it shine. Amen. He will help us. These young people, when they went to Jamaica last week, I'm sure they were nervous, and it's okay to be nervous, but when God does something because your light shone, I tell you, it's worth it all. Amen. It's worth it all, and it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. We're so determined to fit in that instead of seeking to impact the world, we're worried about what people may think. You know, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking, do you know that sometimes, even when we come to church, we're so quick to run out and to meet our friends that we don't pause to say, Lord, is there somebody here that I need to show the light to? Have you ever thought that right here, there are people who come into these doors who don't know Jesus? Sometimes there are people who come into these doors who just need somebody to, they may know Jesus, to encourage them in their walk with Jesus. Have you ever? Just recently, a young lady who is now a successful Christian psychologist, she came to thank me for leading her to Christ 35 years ago. She was a teenager at the time. And it was so simple. As people were milling around, I just simply asked her, have you ever really received Jesus? I know you've been coming to church, you're in Sunday school. Have you ever prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior? Are you sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? And she said, no. Right then, she received Jesus as her Savior. I'm saying to you, sometimes we sit beside people we don't even know, and we rush out without knowing them. I'm going to encourage every Christian, anytime somebody comes to and sits in your row behind you and you do not know them, let your light shine. And the first way to let your light shine is to talk to that person. Make them realize that you see them and you care about them. And as God gives you the opportunity, use that to see, is this somebody who needs to be encouraged in their walk? Perhaps they have something. Allow God to use you. Amen. Amen. Light has one primary job to shine, but I'm going to quit with this final thing. After our salvation, write this down. After our salvation, we must use our light to impact the world for God. After our salvation, we must use our light to impact the world for God. As GCA's founder, Dr. B. Sam Hart, often said, we can never share the gospel with the wrong person. Did you hear that? We can never share the gospel with the wrong person. There are certain things you can't talk to everybody about, but you can never share the gospel with the wrong person. So don't be praying, God, is it okay if I speak to them about Jesus? You can never share the gospel with the wrong person. Years ago, a British evangelist made this very challenging statement. The world has yet to see what God will do with a person who is fully consecrated to him. Dwight Moody heard that quote, and he said to God, Lord, I'm willing to be that person and to give my life fully to you. And though he was just an ordinary guy selling shoes in a store, God honored his commitment in an amazing way, and he used Dwight Moody to impact thousands and thousands of people around the world. The impact is still going on as the Moody Bible Institute continues to train hundreds and hundreds of young people everywhere as they spread the gospel around the world. Listen, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be an academician for God to use you. Dwight Moody was just a salesman. But he said to God, God, I'm available to you. I hope there are people here this morning, men, women, teenagers, who are saying, God, I am available to you. And today, I am presenting myself to you that you can use me to make change happen. God wants to use us to make change happen. And I trust we'll make ourselves available to him. And Father, I pray that in your mighty name, that the word of God may have gone forth, and that there might be some who would open their hearts to you. Perhaps there's somebody who's not saved. I pray that today they'll say yes to Jesus. And for those of us who know you, I pray that today will be a day of commitment. For Christ's sake, we pray.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.